You might have thought shutting our borders to prevent outbreaks of infectious disease was a thing of the past. But that's exactly what some in the opposition are calling for, demanding the federal government close the border to Indonesia to halt the spread of foot and mouth disease. Fragments of the virus, which affects livestock, were detected here last week, but the government insists it has the strongest biosecurity measures possible in place. Murray Watt is the Minister for Agriculture and Emergency Management and our guest this morning. Minister, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia.
Fragments of foot and mouth disease have been found in Australia, not the live virus. What does that mean in terms of efforts to contain this outbreak? Has the horse bolted?
No, I don't think it has, Patricia. And if there's one message I can leave with your listeners, it's that Australia remains foot and mouth disease free, despite the discovery of those products, despite all the hysteria we're seeing created by the opposition. What we did with those fragments was that these were detected during routine surveillance exercises that a lot of people don't realise we're doing. So in one case, in Melbourne, we were conducting routine surveillance in retail stores and sampled some products which were taken away for testing and discovered viral fragments, not live virus, importantly. And then the other case at Adelaide Airport, a passenger was detected trying to bring in essentially a beef pastry that was also taken away for testing and discovered to have viral fragments. But the important point is that those things were detected and it also didn't include live virus. So what that means is that we remain foot and mouth disease free. But I think it is a reminder that we need to take this seriously, and it's a reminder that we don't just need governments stepping up to the plate and putting in more resources, which we are. We also need the travelling public to do the right thing and people who are seeking to import products.
Is it possible, though, that the virus is now spreading within Australia? And what measures are you putting in place to prevent that from happening?
We have absolutely no evidence at all that the virus is in Australia, and it was a little unfortunate that some of the headlines generated after I made public that information about the viral fragments suggested that we did have the disease in Australia. One of the reasons that's unfortunate is that it does affect our international trade if people think that Australia does have this disease. And again, that's one of the dangers that we see from the opposition running around creating hysteria, that people notice that.
Let me just get in there to ask a very obvious question. You say it does affect our reputation. Has there been any impact from any of these comments yet on our trade?
I've certainly been hearing from some industry leaders that they're starting to get questions from some of the people they export to about whether Australia is free of foot and mouth disease. And again, that's why it's so important that people like me and industry leaders and media outlets make clear that we are.
Okay, so questions are reasonable. I would ask too if I was trading with Australia.
Exactly.
You know, anyone would. It's a logical thing to do. Is it leading though to cancellations, or are we seeing any business ramifications from this?
Nothing that's been reported to me at this stage. It's simply just questions being asked. But, that's putting an extra workload on our biosecurity people. It's putting an extra workload on industry to ensure that correct information is being circulated to the world about the situation here. And I think it sort of distracts attention from the fact that we do have, A, we're free of the disease, and B, we have the strongest ever response Australia has ever imposed for a biosecurity threat. That's through extra measures that we're imposing at the border, extra biosecurity officers, extra detector dogs. We're now risk profiling 100% of passengers who return from Indonesia, and we're now enforcing tougher compliance at airports.
Okay, you say that, but on the weekend there was some, sorry to cut in again, but just to drill down on this, I saw some reports from commercial television that some people were getting off flights from Bali and, walking around, no sort of shoe health going on or shoe cleaning. Have you investigated any of that?
I have, and I was already investigating that before those reports, Patricia, because I was concerned that some passengers were reporting this. We have never said that every single passenger returning from Indonesia is being thoroughly screened, taken away for questioning, having their luggage searched. You can imagine the chaos that would cause at airports. But what we are doing is risk profiling every single passenger who comes back in the country. And I got some figures from my department over the weekend in response to those reports. Just in Melbourne Airport alone, just on Saturday, there were around 3,700 passengers coming in from Indonesia who were questioned, who were screened, who had shoes cleaned, some combination of measures to make sure that they were safe. And the reason those passengers were chosen is that they either declared that they had been on a farm, been near livestock, were carrying a product, something like that, or they didn't declare it, and for some reason in our risk profiling system, they were picked up as a possible risk. So I know there were some reports about people who just rolled in through the airport, didn't see anything, nothing happened. I mean, they would have received, in fact, I think they confirmed that they heard the specific message that we're now playing on every flight coming back in from Indonesia about the foot and mouth disease risk. They would have seen the signs, they would have received the flyers, but we don't bother searching every single passenger because they're low risk. What we try to do is make sure that our resources are targeted at people who are the highest risk. And importantly, we try to target our resources at the importation of meat products because, as I've said all the way along, while there is a risk that a traveller could bring this back from Bali, that risk is much lower than meat products being brought into the country. And that's why we need to make sure that we're doing a lot of work around that as well, which we are.
So there are these calls from some opposition MPs, MPs like Karen Andrews, Barnaby Joyce, saying that you should close the border to Indonesia. When would you make that decision? What is the threshold that would have to be met for the Albanese government to shut the border with Indonesia?
Well, I've received no advice at all that is necessary. And in fact, I've asked about it regularly, several times a day over the last few days.
So you've said, should we be shutting the border to Indonesia?
Yeah, I've asked for... And again, one of the things I've been saying, Patricia, is that I am relying on the best biosecurity advice I have available to me, because just as we listen to the experts to get ourselves through COVID as a country, it's important that we listen to people who know what they're talking about here. And the advice to me is that measure is not needed. There's foot and mouth disease outbreaks in about 70 countries around the world at the moment, and we've never closed the borders to those countries. I don't know where the opposition stands on this, because they've got some people out saying close the borders, some people saying no. Industry is united in saying that we should not close the border. The National Farmers Federation oppose closing the border. The Cattle Council oppose it. The meat processors oppose it. They're all basically standing with the government.
Well, that's because they know that there are business ramifications, right? There are trade ramifications. But the head of Argyle Meats, for instance, says there needs to be a beefed up biosecurity presence at airports and a focus on searching people and their luggage arriving from Indonesia for undeclared meat products. Will you do that? Will you beef it up even further?
Yep, we have continued to do that ever since we got elected and ever since the outbreak got to Bali. The previous government put in minimal changes after the outbreak got to Indonesia, and it's a bit ironic, people like David Littleproud lecturing me about what to do when we're doing a range of things that he never bothered doing when the outbreak got to Indonesia. There were no sanitation mats installed at airports when it got to Indonesia. There weren't even sanitation mats ordered when it got to Indonesia. We've had to do that from scratch. We're using these special powers under the Biosecurity Act to declare biosecurity response zones in airports, which allow much tougher directions to passengers. Again, that power has existed for 7 years and the previous government never used it. But I've always said that we will continue ramping up our measures at airports, at mail centres, information campaigns, and I expect to be able to announce more things along those lines this week.
Okay, so there are things that are imminently going to be announced?
For sure. I mean,
can you give me an indication? Given this is a breaking news platform, can you give me an idea of what you might be doing? Just give me an idea, though, of what you're clearly looking at.
Well, one of the things we announced today that a lot of people didn't realise, Patricia, was first of all those figures that I gave you about the number of people who are being searched at airports, but also we are now screening every item of mail that comes in from Indonesia and China, being both high-risk countries, to pick up animal products. Again, that hasn't been done before. So we're really breaking new ground here in terms of the response to this effort. And again, it's far more than any government has done before, including the people who are lining up to demand things now. But look, I'd appreciate knowing where the opposition stands on some of these issues, because every time you turn on the TV or listen to the radio, you've got a different member of the opposition saying do this and then another one saying do the opposite. So.
Well, as I used to say to the previous government, I will ask those questions to the opposition and I will ask you the government questions. Just let me end on this. We know Splendour in the Grass was cancelled its first day because of the flooding situation and the kind of water levels, and they couldn't run the festival. Now, you are also the Minister for Emergency Management. Is it sustainable to have a festival this big in an area which is flood prone? You're the minister. You have to deploy resources here. Is this something that concerns you, and are you looking at it?
Yeah, I was really disappointed and saddened to see what happened at Splendour in the Grass on the weekend, Patricia. It's a festival I've been to many times and had lots of great times. And in fact, I was planning to go this weekend, but I decided I had to work over the weekend on foot and mouth disease instead. And it was really disappointing, and I know very troubling for the organisers and the attendees. I mean, I don't think we want to get to a point in this country where we can't have fun and can't have festivals and certain regions can't host things. Again, I've probably been to Splendour in the Grass at least 10 times, and it's never been an issue there before, but I think it does remind us that we live in a changing climate. That's why we need to take climate action and drive down emissions as we intend to. It's why we intend to invest more in disaster mitigation. I do think it's fair to say that under the previous government, our emergency systems weren't up to scratch. And what we've said is that we want to make sure the country is better prepared for natural disasters in the future, and also that we respond a lot faster. And frankly, I think we demonstrated it can be done after the recent New South Wales floods.
So to be clear, there will be a review of events in these kinds of places?
No, I haven't given that any consideration because, I mean, you know, you can never quite control exactly where the weather's going to hit. That region obviously has suffered major flooding and heavy rainfall as a result of the La Nina conditions that we're experiencing. But, you know, I don't think we'll be living in La Nina every year, and I don't want to deprive that region of music festivals or other things. But I think what it shows is that we do need to react to a changing climate and take the kind of measures we intend to.
What band did you want to see?
Well, I've never managed to see the Strokes in all the years, in all my 49 years. Yeah. My wife was keen to see them, although she reminded me she'd seen them before. But I would have been happy to see Gorillaz. I've never seen them before either. And of course, there were many Aussie acts on the lineup as well. But
King
maybe next
Stingray.
Year.
I was like,
yeah, they're pretty good.
Needed,
pretty good.
But no, I was never planning
Stella
to go.
Stella Donnelly, I was looking forward to seeing her.
So good.
But,
I know.
Maybe next year.
Well, let's all go to a music festival at some point. Everyone needs to. Murray Watt, thank
we
you
do.
For joining us.
Thanks, Patricia.
Murray Watt is the Minister for Agriculture and Emergency Management, and you're listening to RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.